That's the voice and guitar of my friend Greg Iles, who is one of the members of the Rock Bottom Remainders, a band of writers that, as you can see, while most of them have no talent, some of them have quite a bit. Greg is one of those. He's a really good guitar player, really good writer. And he has a new book coming out called Southern Man, which you, if you read the Natchez Burning trilogy, then you know about Penn Cage, his lead character, a prosecutor turned mayor, and gets into a book that is a lot about race, which is not an easy thing for a white writer to write about in America.
True that.
And Greg joins us on the Mitch Albom program. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Mitch. Man, it's great to hear your voice. And you've got better audio there than I have anywhere in my house on our gigs. I'm telling you, that sounds better than I expected.
Well, I think it had more to do with you. If we played other people's songs, it would sound like crap.
Well, let me tell you, I had a surprise for you, buddy. I just spent an hour in the middle of my promo trying to mix You Can Call Me Al on Tracks from Minnesota. I was going to surprise you, and then Logic wouldn't let me get it out of the program, and I found out the interview was an hour early. I'm like, I'll never make it. So I sent you that picture of you, me, and Steve instead. That was it.
I just opened an email from Greg of me, Greg, and Stephen King making the I don't know what this face is. It looks like someone just jolted us up in the rear end with 1,000 watts of something.
Cattle prod.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not one I want to share with anybody, but okay. So anyhow, Greg is an extraordinarily talented writer and who also writes big books with big themes. This one is nearly 1,000 pages, and it takes on the issue of race. The theme of it involves a murder and then an opportunistic radio host, war hero, who decides to run for president, jumping on sort of the opportunity that comes with a racial crime and murder. And your lead character decides to try to expose him, so to speak, before he actually becomes the president. And there's a lot of overtones, at least from what I've read of the plot outline of it, that parallel what's going on in the world today. If I'm right about that, how dangerous is it to sort of try to write a novel about themes that are going on in the real world and in the newspapers and television every day?
Well, Mitch, I mean, talking to you, I mean, you know, you with your stuff in Haiti, I know you deal with a lot of dangerous stuff. I don't normally, you know, but I'll tell you, some of the things I've done in Mississippi related to these issues, for example, when John Grisham and I were trying to get the Confederate flag removed from the state flag, or when I write about these things, literally about the 2024 election, Trump is a character in the book. Quite a few characters and people I know are characters in the book, and I get some pretty upset people, and I have, in rare cases, hired armed security. I feel weird saying that. I never thought I would do that in my life, but I have done it, because people lose their sense of humor about this stuff, as I know you know.
Wow.
Yeah. You know?
Well, what drew you to try to write about this theme?
Well, look at, you know, when you grow up, as I did, in the deepest part of Mississippi, and you you have the kind of parents I did who were very knowledgeable about the history there and had grown up there, you know, I found out a lot of things, Mitch, that happened around where I grew up. They were never in the newspaper. They were never talked about. That's why my first book about Mississippi was called The Quiet Game, because there's sort of a knowledge that everyone has, or at least the people in power have, but they keep it from away from everyone else. They try to have the world that they want. But, for example, Mitch, I found out 2 years ago, I've lived into my 60s without knowing that in 1861, 50 enslaved black men were lynched within 2 miles of the house I grew up with.
Wow.
Sorry, grew up in. Within about 3 months.
Heavy.
And I had not even known that. And so I started pulling on the thread of that history, and it led to families of people I had been to school with, Mitch, seriously.
Oh,
that's how permanent that stuff is. It isn't something that happened 180 years ago and then it's over. The same people, that's one thing about the South, man. You live in a place like Mississippi, the people you grew up with, their families have been there, you know, 150, 200 years. So nothing changes that much.
Yeah. You know? In Southern Man, you have three prominent black characters. In today's world, where there's constantly critics saying appropriation, appropriation, you can't appropriate, you can't, you're white, you can't write as a black character, you're Christian, you can't write as a Jewish character, you're straight, you can't write gay characters. What's the risk and what's the courage of writing those characters?
You know the risk, Mitch, in our business, and some people have been through some pretty big scandals. Now, I want to say, James Lee Burke, the Louisiana writer, this year wrote a book called Flags on the Bayou, I think is the title. He just won the Edgar for Best Book of the Year. I think it's a great sign. In that book, Burke, who's in his 80s, wrote in several places from the point of view, not only of black characters, but even enslaved people. And he was successful at it, and he wasn't canceled because of it. And I'll tell you how he did it, man. He did it because he's such a gifted writer. B, he just wrote, focused on the humanity of the characters. And it's like he did it without realizing the enormity of what he was doing, and therefore he succeeded at it. And I did the same thing in Southern Man in a little bit different way. But you and I both know, if you're going to write cross-gender, if you're going to write cross-racially, whatever, you better know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm 64 years old, and I've been in the South since I was 3 years old. And I can tell you, buddy, when my first three or four jobs I ever did, I was either the only white guy or one of two white guys digging sewer ditches or whatever else I was doing. And my mother, literally, as I say in the book, she started picking cotton when she was three, Mitch, three.
Wow.
So, you know, we've been there. We're not black, but we know the South.
Greg, can I compliment you very quickly on Mississippi Blood? That is such a good book. I couldn't put it down. Excellent book.
Thank you.
That I loved
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much, man.
Now Greg and I, as I say, are in this band of writers. We're talking to Greg Iles. His book is called Southern Man. It comes out early next week. And like all of Greg's books, you should just get it. You don't even have to, say, well, tell me what it's about. Just get it. Start reading it. You're going to love it. But Greg, we have, I don't know, 37,000 writers in that band at some point. and people start comparing, like, how do you do it, how do you do it? And I've noticed over the years that almost every writer in that band says, well, I just treat it like a job. I get up, I start at 9 o'clock, or I go to my office, get a cup of coffee, I write for X period of time, you know, get up, rinse, repeat, do it all over again. But Greg, if I remember correctly, last time we had the discussion, you break the mold. You're still one of those guys. It's like when it hits you, you go for like 12 straight hours on caffeine and whatever, and then you crash, and then you wait till it hits you again, and you go for. You're more of the romanticized version of a novelist versus the punch in type. Is that just because that's how it works for you,
Mitch? I think it's because, as we know from the supposed thousands of members who've been in that band, in theory, you and I are among some of the guys who actually have done it for a living. Right. And I think it grew out of my years as a musician. When you're working all night, driving to the next town, tearing down gear, you sort of become a nocturnal creature. So therefore, I became the kind of writer that just wrote whenever it hit me. And I just, buddy, I don't stop. If the flow is there, I really compare it more to athletics, that peak state that some athletes talk about. If you can get into that peak state where it's just like you've taken dictation, then I will not stop until I literally sometimes go 30 hours, Mitch. Really,
man.
Without
how do you sustain it energy-wise? I mean, are you a Red Bull guy or a caffeine, or do you stand on nails?
For years it was caffeine, man. It sounds crazy, but I was a tab freak, you know? And now I've got to say, man, age-wise, and you know, we don't have time to get into it, but I mean, now my health status has changed, and I've got to say, man, it's tougher now to do those kind of marathons, and it takes days and days to recover, you know.
Yeah.
But I still do it the same way, though.
Well, it shows. Southern Man is getting wonderful early reviews, even Stephen King. And it's hard to get a compliment from a fellow band member.
Yes, it is.
But Stephen King calls Greg, you know, one of America's great storytellers. And when Stephen King calls you that. Ooh. That's a pretty nice little crown to get on your head.
I praise.
And I will echo that. And Greg, on top of being a great storyteller and a great guitarist, he's just an all-around really, really good guy who I'm proud to call a friend. So,
well, Matt, that's what I want to say, Mitch. We don't get to the best thing, man. Just the you and I both know the best thing about that band is hanging with each other. You know, it's certainly not the music, right?
It's definitely not the music.
Although the harmonica player was great, whoever was on that track.
Yeah, it ain't the music, I can promise you that. But the writing is behind all of it. It's what draws us together. It makes me appreciate what Greg does. We got one more Greg Isles song that we can play on the way out here, I think. It's Paperback Writer, which, hey, if you take on a Beatles song, you got to have some talent. So get Southern Man. It comes out on the 28th. Greg Isles is our guest. Greg, great talking to you, man. Thanks so much.
Mitch, you be careful down there, buddy. You be careful.
You too. Back with more on 760 WJR.